This line is burning, turning to ashes. It hits the ear. Every step is a day in the week. It's a Sunday or Monday, March over months away.
Welcome to Nosecast. Homilies delivered in the Holy Gnosis of Thomas Chapel, the Ecclesia Gnostica, in Salt Lake City, Utah, by the Reverend Troy Pierce.
Happy New Year. New secular year, at least. Liturgical year began first Sunday in Advent. But this is what we normally think of as the beginning of the year. The renewal of that cycle of the year. So that we start over in a certain sense. And psychologically, this is so much more true than in any other way, because if we weren't thinking about it in this way, it wouldn't be this way. But there's always a point in the cycle where you realize, you know, I've been here before. I'm starting this again. And collectively, day is that day, the days of the year. Just wouldn't be practical if we didn't restart the year at some point. You know, just keep making up new months or something, I guess. But this doesn't make any sense. So as human beings, the year has always been our way of looking at things. Because we know that there are cycles, and they repeat. And they seem very much like the last time one went through that cycle, although things are different now. And this is the year, the seasons. The particular day we choose to renew the year is sort of arbitrary, but we can see it as being linked to the winter solstice, to this time of darkness and the renewal of light. And perhaps this is the time of the year when one begins to really get some assurance that the days are getting longer. We've reached the end of that darkening period, the beginning of a new period of lightning. So it makes sense. You can choose to have a new year now. And those from whom we inherited our calendar, the Romans, and indirectly from the Alexandrians, today's New Year's Eve. Tomorrow, New Year. And this points to the cyclical nature of things. We go around and around. This is so much a part of life. Often when we overcome some difficulty or limitation, we really, really hope we're done with it. Well, at least I overcame that now, and I can not worry about it again. But then you come into it again. The cycle comes around again. You find out that, sure, you may have dealt with some huge percentage of it, but still some left. As long as there's life left, one goes through these cycles. The amounts that one has to deal with decrease, coming up to facing one's own darkness. First number of times one does that, it's pretty dramatic and pretty traumatic, and it takes a lot out of you, but you move on, but you're not done with it. Maybe done with, say, 75% the first time, or 50% the first time, but then you're only done with that same percentage the next time, that same percentage the next time. I mean, you whittle these things down dramatically. They never go away. And as one progresses, that amount that was left becomes a very big problem. Whereas where you were before, it wasn't. You were able to move forward. It didn't stop you. But now that you have grown in consciousness in many ways, grown in gnosis, then these things become a problem again and have to be faced again. And it seems wearying at times. We just have to keep going through all this stuff over and over and over again. But this is not just a circle. There is a line involved as well. And so it is a spiral. And moving around in the circle of the year, moving around in our own cycles of growth and development, of stagnation even, we reach a new point. It seems as though we are dealing with the same thing again. And for some people who are not actually engaged in dealing with their problems or psychological situation, not really trying to free themselves from these things. And they are actually just spinning circles because they are trying to avoid the pain, the work. And avoiding the pain and the work, they avoid the progress. So they do just go in cycles again and again and again. We all know people like this. It might be a relationship cycle, and you can see them go through it with one person after another person after another person. The same pattern will occur. Or with a job or with some other thing where it's the exact same pattern that clicks in. There's a script somewhere. And they may not have any clue that there's a script that they are following, that there's a plot line here that's going on and on and on. They're living out basically a sitcom. There's only one plot. Because to be aware of that, to engage in that, is painful. And to make progress is a lot of work, and a lot of painful work. But work is a good thing. It means progress. So we're going to encounter these things again anyway. And if we encounter them with consciousness, with a commitment to truth, to becoming aware, with a commitment to our own freedom from these patterns, then it may be, in the short term, much more painful, much more difficult. But in the long term, we have progressed. We are spiraling, not just spinning our wheels. The intent of today is renewal of life. And it makes sense to think about this at the time when we are renewing the year, time when we think of what we will be doing in the coming year, and what we have accomplished in the past year, or what we have not accomplished in the past year. But to understand or to live truly, to truly live a life, be aware of its limitations. In a very profound sense, it is primarily those who are dying who teach us what life is about. Those who have accepted that they are dying. Because to them, life is precious and is something to be lived. And is a limited thing. It's not infinitely precious. It's not any amount of pain that one is willing to undergo or any amount of discomfort or whatever to live? No. It's very practically precious. And there are times when one is bored and wonders why one continues on with all the medications and so forth. But in general, those who have accepted their impending death live so much more fully and invigorate those around them. It's hard to appreciate these cycles and things. So often we cannot see from a perspective of above the rat's maze we're running through. We're just trying to get the cheese and keep running into those dead ends time and time and time and time and time again. And think, well, this turn will get me the cheese. But it rarely does. If it does, well, you eat the cheese and then you need some more, don't you? So if we see life in that very myopic view, then we don't see a whole lot. It's also a matter of consciousness. Being able to have a dual consciousness, ability to see where you're at now, to see the grander scheme of things, to see this progressing part of the spiral, not just the going around and around in circles. William James wrote in his Varieties of Religious Experience about those he called once born and those he called twice born. And the once born were those who engaged in this practice of healthy mindedness, the positive thinkers, the forebears of a lot of sort of modern pop, new agey psychological attitudes and so forth. And that for them, as you said, the world is a rectilinear and one-storied affair. The world is a one-room schoolhouse or something. It's pretty basic. Everything is laid out before you. He says that life is then simply a matter of pluses and minuses. And then as long as you're on the upside of the pluses, you're doing good. You don't have to worry about any larger issues. And if you can then always look on the bright side of life, life will be great. Life will be grand. But he also pointed out another category of people, whom he called the twice born. And these are people for whom the world is a two-storied affair. Everything isn't all on one level, isn't all in one room. And for them, it's not a matter of simple pluses and minuses, for as you said, that things aren't all of one denomination. It isn't just adding more money or something and taking it away. It's more complex. There are many different issues that strike one. One could be up in a lot of ways and still be down in other ways. Most of us who are even remotely interested in Gnosticism, very much of this second view of the world. It's much more complex. And it requires more of us to get to a renewal. It requires more than just a good happening, a good thing to happen to us, or to just get our balance sheet up into the pluses. And what that difference that is required, we require, is meaningfulness. James quotes Tolstoy as saying that he was seeking for that something by which men live. And we cannot go back to this one-storied view of the world, the simpler understanding, though a lot of the world tries to do that through these more fundamentalist type of movements and try to encompass everything into a metaphysical system or into a proclaimed absolute truth, so that the meaning is taken care of for you out there somewhere. And all you have to do is accept it or not. I'll order a number 2 religion and I'll order a number 3 spirituality, you know, the side of fries. It's just there for you. You're not involved. Whereas for those who are this twice-born nature, they are innately involved. We are beings who make and participate in the meaning of our lives. It cannot be handed to us if we have grown to a certain point, reached a certain level of consciousness. Then we cannot be contained within some collective meaning system. It isn't going to work. We no longer fit the one-size-fits-all solution of religion, life, spirituality, psychology, whatever it is that the once-born can fit into. It's a matter of choosing your brand of one-size-fits-all solution, but they can do it. God bless them, you know, way to go. But for those who have moved beyond that, this is not going to fit. It's not going to work. A lot of people waste a lot of time and go through a lot of difficulties trying to make these one-size-fits-all solutions fit. When childhood ends, one grows beyond a certain point, and then has to take responsibility. And this has always been a part of the Gnostic tradition. One takes responsibility for one's gnosis, for one's progress, for one's path. And in that, one takes responsibility for one's meaning. And since we cannot be satisfied with a statement of meaning, with a reassurance of meaning, we must find that for ourselves. When someone is in distress or difficulties or going through a hard time, often people come up with these really lame platitudes that it'll be all right, or it's for the best, or God works in mysterious ways, or it's the will of God, and wondering if you can get Britain out of the will of God and if he can leave this all to somebody else. People sort of shift out of themselves at those moments. They don't really want to deal with it themselves. And so they reach for some idea of meaning and then try to hand it to you and go, see, look, meaning. And it doesn't work. No idea of meaning will ever work. It's of a different order, a different nature. It is, in fact, a type of gnosis. You have to come to the end of your way of looking at things, of your schema of the world, and see that it doesn't contain all the meaning that you need. It isn't no longer meaningful for you. When you get to the limit of it, to the very edge of it, and look beyond it, then you're ready for the gnosis to come, ready to find that meaning yourself. And it is a dramatic shift. It's one thing to be told in school, what have you, that the world is a sphere, is a globe, and to see a globe sitting on the teacher's desk or something. It's quite another thing to sort of go out in the world and experience the curvature. Stand on the seacoast and see the waves disappear over the horizon. To really experience the meaning of that. To see that if you try to treat the world as flat, it works a very small area, but as soon as you start looking out to the horizon, looking out across distances, no longer works. And to get the real sense of that is to get the gnosis of the meaning of the world being around, being a globe, being a sphere. Until we come to that point where we really need to learn that, to gain gnosis of that, to have that meaning be to us, for ourselves, for our lives, we just have ideas, we just have patterns. We just have platitudes, cliches. When we do extend beyond all of that, all of those mere ideas of meaning, then we can come to real meaningfulness. And that is meaningful deeply for us. That really revitalizes us. It renews our life when we have that connection to what is truly meaningful. Not merely ideas of who we are, ideas of what we should do, ideas of how important every single one of us are, whatever. Those are all ideas. It's the gnosis that really clicks, becomes our foundation, becomes our root of our life in this world, extending beyond the world, and giving us that invigoration to go through these cycles again and again. To do the work and go through the difficulties, pains, and struggles. To make those cycles into spirals. It is always harder to attain that liberation in the short term. But it is always better in the long term. We must grow and become liberated people. Turn our lives to that focus, top of anything else we might be doing. This is what is most important. Even if you are caring for your children, the best gift you can give them is to be free. And you cannot hand it to them. The kind that you can hand to them is the political kind or the social kind. But the kind that you can demonstrate for them and help them see the value of is the inner kind. That inner liberation. Being able to have the ability to deal with inner conflicts within oneself. To be able to rise above them. To transcend them. Showing this as an example is a great gift. If one is concerned about others in a relationship, romantic relationship, a love match, again, being free, being liberated within oneself is a great gift. Great gift to whoever one is involved with. It's a great gift both as an example and in the rest of what you can give when you're free. When you're not free, you're not giving a whole lot sometimes. You're needing things, or you're not able to see. You're blocked from sight. Consciousness stops. Something else takes over and goes through its little cycle, and its little cycle, and spins your wheels. Painful for everybody. But if you become free, it may seem for a time as if the very foundations of the relationship are gone, because maybe they were very much an unconscious foundation. That's the only way forward. It's the only way to grow. And so all these things that are important to us in the world really grow from us and can grow more if we are free. Our life will have so much more effect if we can free ourselves from these inner chains. If we can achieve that freedom, the apolutrosis, the being purchased from slavery, slavery within ourselves, slavery to expectations, to ideas, to the idea of the cosmos, to the need for it. And we can move through it, transforming it, renewing it, living life to its fullest potential as the place where gnosis grows. The lesson for today speaks of the tabernacle of God being among men, the dwelling place, and that will dwell with them. And they shall be his people, and he shall be their God. There is this deep relationship, and this shows us where to look for this renewal, this constant invigoration. And that is to the divine, to the presence of God, to the gnosis of God. The lesson comes from Hermetic literature. It speaks of closing off one's senses. God is within one. It's present. It's felt. If we place our foundation, our understanding and our meaning onto the things of the world, they will crumble, they will fall, they will disappoint us. As mundane texts say, I have no trust in the world. No matter what you build, build a great business empire, eventually it'll crumble. You can build a vast empire like Alexander or Rome, and it will fall. Or recently, British Empire. These things have their day. They have their cycle. And then the world, having gone through that cycle, moves on. But where there is cycling of cycles, a constant spring of renewal, is with God, with the divine, with the transcendent. If we take our meaning from that, from gnosis of that, then we will not be disappointed. It will never crumble. And it is more real than whatever one can do within the world. When one places one's foundation there, oddly enough, one can then shift the world, move it about. As long as we are concerned and our meaning comes from here, we are playing the game of the world by its rules. When we take our meaning, source of life, as being the divine, then we no longer play by its rules. We are no longer merely trapped in the cosmos, merely contained in this one place, the limitations of the body, subject to its sufferings. We are that, we are more. We have that deeper connection to our true nature, to our true God. And when we have and grow in gnosis of that, we transcend the world around us, even as we transform it. It's not an easy task. It takes a lot of inner transformation first, a lot of this inner work, many of these cycles, The cycles that never end. The spiral moves one just a little bit further along to go around again. But what could be more important? What could be a better gift? What could be a better fate than to live a meaningful life? Not on terms of what others may think and say, not even on terms of what your conception may have been. To live a meaningful life in an eternal sense, in a divine sense. To be constantly renewed by that meaning. No treasure of the world can come close. For if one attains to that, one is truly in the kingdom of heaven, walking on this earth, seeing things with that divine light. So may we keep this in mind, this wonderful goal, and all the treasures that come as we pursue it, not just for ourselves, but for all of those around us, friends, family, loved ones, co-workers, communities in which we live. We make a difference in this path by transforming ourselves. We transform that around us. Maybe not in any way we can readily see, or maybe we will be given glimpses here and there. But that is the real and true transformation, one that doesn't crumble and fade. As we continue through these 12 days of Christmas, we can see the greatest example of this in the life of Christ. That is an example that hasn't faded. People have had to massage it into different forms, cover it with filters, and do all kinds of things to try to keep us from having that experience of it. But it's still transforming the world. So when we begin this new cycle, let us tend to our own foundation, to the spring of life bubbling up for us. Drink from it. Know it is there, this living water. And go unafraid through the cycle of the year, through one's own cycles, reaching never closer to the ultimate transcendence of all of this, and our return to our true home. So may the blessing of that change twixt heaven and earth descend upon us, remain with us always. Amen. The Gnostic calendar features the liturgical year of the Ecclesia Gnostica and many additional holidays and dates of interest. With original artwork by a Gnostic priest, the Gnostic calendar is truly one of a kind. Get yours today at gnosis.org/calendar. That's gnosis.org/calendar.